Greetings, Liddell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. And today we have a very special guest, Mrs. Martha Benson. Martha has been very active in the mental health community, serving in some very important positions in the past, and today is following the call of God to be able to reach out and to minister to those who are suffering with mental illness. And so, Martha, we're so glad to have you here today.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bob. And I really appreciate this opportunity. And if I could just express my gratitude that the willingness and your courage in having this conversation about mental illness, it is an answer to prayer for me personally and professionally.
This is a subject that's been on our heart for some months now.
Okay.
And I think I've been looking for just the right outlet. And I just really feel like God placed you on my heart to be a part of this conversation today. So thank you for making a place for us.
Thank you.
Mental illness. We keep it in the closet. We don't bring it out very often. We talk about our heart disease and diabetes and other ailments. And we have great compassion for each other. But when it comes to this area, be it people of faith, as well as, I'll just say, the secular community, we don't quite know what to do with it, do we?
That has been my experience. It's a conversation that people don't regularly have unless somebody else starts the conversation, whether professionally, whether I'm in church or whether I'm at work or even in my own family. A lot of times the topic of mental health and mental illness is not something that people like to have.
You know, I've heard it said before that there's a major stigma attached to mental health. What is it? Why are we afraid of that? People have cancer and they should really be afraid of that. They should really be afraid of diabetes and heart, and take steps to fix it. But this is one we just don't seem to want to fix.
You know, it's really interesting that you mentioned that. Of all the health conditions that people could have, I know the one that nobody wants, and it's mental illness. There is a lot of stigma, and it's debilitating. Stigma can be very debilitating.
Well, this whole thing about stigma is that this is a category that our lack of understanding really creates within us a fear. That it's the fear of the unknown. We don't know why these things are happening, and quite honestly, we don't know how to deal with it and how to fix it. Do you think that the fear of the unknown has a part in that?
I think so. There are a lot of reasons why people approach mental illness in the way that they do. Some of it is misunderstanding. Some of it is their experiences. Maybe they knew someone that had mental illness and it was not a good experience for them. Maybe people have a little trouble wrapping their minds around the biology of mental illness. So you were mentioning heart disease and diabetes. Well, mental illness is a biological condition, just like heart disease and diabetes. You know, when you have a heart problem, a condition related to heart disease, maybe you have high blood pressure, maybe you have an arrhythmia, your heart doesn't beat the way it should, or if you have diabetes, maybe you have high blood sugar or something like that. You know, Pastor Bob, there is a lot of misunderstanding about mental illness. There's a lot of misinformation out there, so it's no wonder people don't quite understand what's going on when they see a person who has symptoms of a mental illness. You know, maybe their behavior is different. Maybe the way they see things is different. Maybe the experiences that they're having are different, hard to understand. But something that has helped me personally in dealing with mental illness, not only professionally, but as a family member who has loved ones with mental illness, is understanding it as the biological condition that it is. Just like high blood pressure or a heart attack is a disease of the heart or the cardiovascular system, just like high blood sugar or diabetes is a condition of the endocrine system, you know, the pancreas and its dysfunction. What is mental illness? When you have dysfunction or illness of a part of the brain that controls your thought processes, that controls your reasoning, your ability to make decisions, logic, emotions, how you handle stress, relationships, well, what do you think that's going to look like? Yeah. Okay. It's going to be expressed in behaviors, in thought processes that are different than the way a person typically would behave and think. And sometimes it can be to a point of illness. It can create serious problems. But the good news is, and the experience that I've had professionally and personally, is that it's treatable. When a person receives treatment for a chemical imbalance or from the biological issues that's creating those symptoms, they can get better. That treatment could be counseling, it could be medication, it could be seeing your doctor regularly, and treatment, whatever that may be, the support from family, education, understanding what's going on in that person's life, that's where recovery can come from.
Amen. Well, you know, it occurs to me we're speaking about individual relationships, people with people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm not sure, as I hear you talk and think about this a little bit, that maybe the great scientific and economic community of the world, they don't get it any better than we do. When I look at funding for mental health resources, generally the last thing on the agenda, mm-hmm. and much to the detriment of people who are, like you say, suffering with chemical imbalances and, mm-hmm. and maybe other illnesses, PTSD type stuff, traumatic events that have mm-hmm. caused for there to be some imbalance, mm-hmm. fear, things like that.
And, I agree.
And so I mean, it's not just, I mean, it's people with people, and that's our first level. But even beyond that, mm-hmm. we got problems.
I agree with you. I really do. I mean, think about it. We'll go back to that analogy of heart disease. If you have a heart problem, you have your choice of the best clinical care in all over St. Tammany Parish, all over your community. You have choices and providers. And, you know, we had a heart hospital for a time. Same thing with the condition of cancer. There are a plethora of providers that are experts in those fields to give you the care that you need. And that's wonderful because they deserve to have the best care. They deserve to be able to choose the best provider.
And the insurance companies are willing to pay for it.
That's right.
I mean, incredible amounts of money.
And thank God, because as I said, they deserve the best possible care. But when it comes to mental illness, actually is more common than cancer and heart disease and diabetes combined.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. When it comes to mental illness, we don't have those choices. It's not that we get to pick the best provider. We have to use whatever provider happens to be available. And in St. Tammany Parish, just like it is all over the state, just like it is all over the nation, there is not enough care and not enough help for the people who need it. I mean, we were talking about statistics earlier. In any given year, the statistic is 1 in 5. 1 in 5 adults will experience some form of a mental health condition that requires treatment in any given year. Now, that's a national statistic, but it's also a local statistic. Okay, that's 1 in 5 in the state of Louisiana. That's 1 in 5 in St. Tammany Parish. That's 1 in 5 in your church. Okay,
wow.
1 in 5. In just about any community setting, and yet we don't have the choice and the availability of services to take care of everyone.
Well, it seems like at the very bottom of that, if we go to where's the root? What you're describing for mental illness is real. Mm-hmm. It's out there. I'm sure the 1 in 5, the 20% is mm-hmm. is a good stat for us to work with.
Mm-hmm.
But what's and I'm thinking about response. I'm a fixer. Mm-hmm. If you tell me something's broken, my immediate response is, I got to fix this. I got to mm-hmm. fix this. I got to do something. Now, maybe that's
right.
a boy thing. I don't know. But but I want to fix everything. It seems to me that the bottom of it is, on one hand, we can say it's a lack of understanding,
mm-hmm.
the lack of information.
Mm-hmm.
But on maybe a spiritual level, could it be a lack of compassion?
I think you're right in both areas. I think the problem, and it's been my experience, that the problem of mental illness is a very complicated situation. It has a lot of factors involved in it. The solution is going to be just as complicated. It's going to be multifaceted, okay? But a great place to start is understanding and compassion. My son has been in treatment for his mental illness since he was a boy. Okay, since he was 7 years old, he's been into psychiatric care. One of the first things that I did that I needed, some of the best advice I ever got, was learn all you can about what you're dealing with so you know what you can and what you can't do about it. The more I understood about what mental illness is and what it isn't, the easier it was for me to be a help. Compassion is a result of understanding.
What was your first response when you understood that he had mental illness?
Well, in my situation, I knew it straight away. As a very small child, he has a form of autism called Asperger's syndrome for a while. So his symptoms came up straight away. And my first response to it was, you know, I must be doing something wrong. It's my problem. I should fix it. I should face it. And there was an element of denial in there. You know, a lot of response that I got from my family and others were, there's nothing wrong with him. You're just not parenting him correctly, and so on, and that sort of thing. But, you know, not too long after that, I realized I needed to stop listening to people who didn't really understand what was going on and start listening to people who do. And one of the first people that I started listening to was my son. I started paying attention to what he was trying to tell me. You might remember him as a little boy running around in children's church. It's probably the last time you saw him. But I wish that very soon you'll be able to meet the man that he is. He went through a lot in achieving the recovery that he lives in right now. He had a lot of struggles, a lot of difficulties. I didn't understand, and if he didn't understand what was going on, I feel like we'd have been in a lot of trouble. Okay, things would not have turned out the way that they have. A lot of family members are struggling. A lot of family members don't understand what's going on. We don't realize what is happening, so we don't know how to deal with it.
I hear a lot of things in your voice right now, and I see a lot of things going on in your eyes, but I don't see frustration. And it seems like one of the responses from family members, friends, associates, people who are touching the edge of mental illness is frustration.
Mm.
Why don't I see frustration in your face? I see a lot of stuff. I see a mother's love.
Mm.
I see professional training. I see care.
Mm.
I see commitment. I see a dogged commitment to fixing this thing best we can.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see frustration. Why don't I see frustration?
For a lot of reasons. God is merciful. That's the main reason.
Let's give him the glory for sure.
Amen. That is the main reason.
Amen.
One of the reasons why I'm not as frustrated as I was when my son was struggling and my other family members struggling so intensely is because I did learn a lot about what mental illness is, and I learned some coping mechanisms. I learned
okay.
how to deal with the struggles. I learned how to deal with situations when there were crises happening. I learned how to recognize problems while they were small before they got big. I learned how to seek services and help and support to deal with the whole situation. And I learned how to get support and information and education for my son, for my family members as well.
You didn't get a shot. You didn't take a pill.
No.
But you did what we need to do. Mm-hmm. Is to understand what's going on so that you can respond. Because mental illness is sometimes, I guess, as you've already said, a mental chemical imbalance.
Right.
And there are things that we can do to adjust chemistry.
Right.
But more than that, it's relationship. It's relationship and understanding and the commitment to a relationship that might be different than other relationships.
And I agree with you. Just like I said, the situation of mental illness is very complex. It's very complicated. So the solution has to be multifaceted. There is no quick fix. You know, medication for a person who needs medication, and some people do. It's only a part of the recovery process. It's only a part of the treatment. There has to be support. There has to be education. There has to be someone or some people who are willing to come alongside that person and say, I'll be here to help you through this. I am able to help you through this.
Amen.
So relationships are huge. And that relationship can be any number of things. It can be your church family. It could be a support group that's in the community. It could be very close friends or family members that you can trust, that you can talk with. This is too much for anyone to handle alone. Something I used to say all the time in helping to raise my son is, you know, you've heard the old adage that it takes to a village to raise a child.
Yes.
Well, guess what it takes to raise a special needs child? You know, you can guess.
It just takes a lot of loving and concerned, compassionate people.
Yeah.
For sure.
It really does.
Well, you said you gained knowledge, you gained understanding, you had mm-hmm. support. Talk mm-hmm. about some of the resources that that might be available that you found personal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was important to you? And are there any of that available today?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I tell you, mental illness has kind of driven my professional life as a nurse, and I've just gravitated towards mental health care for quite some time. And I had the great opportunity for the last several years to be part of a nonprofit organization called NAMI St. Tammany, that's the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and to work with them in various capacities in community mental health and education. NAMI has programs that are helpful for the individual who is experiencing the mental health condition, but also for their family members. There's support groups, there's education programs, so that if you have a loved one that has a mental health condition, you can learn more about it and learn what is going on with that person and how to help, how to be a help for that person. There's also community education programs and so on that are available to help educate the community more about what mental health means, what mental illnesses are, and what can be done about them. I've had the great opportunity to work with NAMI in this capacity, and I want to just make sure, Pastor Bob, that we look at this from all aspects. I want to make sure that when it comes to mental health and seeking recovery and working towards recovery, that we invite God in on the process.
Amen. Okay? Amen. Amen.
And so there are a lot of resources. There are some resources available right here in St. Tammany Parish that are welcoming to people who are dealing with a mental illness. I want to make sure that in the recovery process, that we're inviting God into the recovery process.
You know, Martha, listening to you talk about resources, it occurs to me that if I have a disease like the ones we've named, I go to the doctor, he tells me what to do, I do what he says, I pick up the prescriptions on the way home or whatever, mm-hmm. and I get better. Mm-hmm. This mental illness, however, involves a much greater commitment on the part of family than going to a professional. You've named NAMI, and I know there's some other wonderful people. Take nothing from those folks. Mm. But preceding all of that professional help comes the commitment and the compassion of those who are living with individuals suffering. And they're suffering. Mm. They're smart enough to know that they're not functioning the way they want to or like their siblings are functioning. Mm. They know that. They're smart. Mm. They're smart. Mm-hmm. Mental illness is not stupidity.
No.
It's not ignorance.
Mm-mm.
It's a behavioral type thing that we deal with. But it takes a much greater commitment on the part of those that we live with and do life with than before. That's why resources are important. This is not something where we can drop our loved one off at the pharmacy, they give them a pill, and they'll be better in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
This is not take two aspirins and call me in the morning. This is something different than that, isn't it?
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. You know, mental illness is not just an individual thing. It's a family thing, and it's a community thing. We're all impacted in some capacity in one way or another.
Yes.
So if we're all affected, then we all need some help, okay? The person who is experiencing a mental health condition will benefit from support, education, understanding their illness and how to move towards recovery, and so will the family members. Family members are struggling too. This is a difficult situation for family members, too, and they need support and information, resources, and so on.
Well, Martha, it's just been delightful to talk to you today. You've given us some really important things to chew on. I want to thank you for your time. And I want to ask, will you come back and talk to us again?
I would be happy to.
This is an area we need to delve into. As you said, it's not simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difficult, complex issue.
Mm-hmm.
And today we can talk about the compassion and the role of family members living with family members with mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
But there's even more to it than that. And I don't want to rush this. I don't want to say, okay, we did that, check it off the block. This is important. And I want to give it the time it deserves. So would you agree to come back and help us with this?
I will. Thank you. And thank you again for the opportunity.
You're more than welcome. And we look forward to our next time together already.
Good. Thank you.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio today. We want to hear from you. You can give us a call at 985-250-1037. Send us a text. Give us a call. And if we've said something today that's of interest to you and maybe you feel like you'd want us to reach out to you or you reach out, call this number. We're good to talk to you. We'd encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio Slidell. Check out our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make tax-deductible donations to support the station. We need your help. Again, the number to call is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now, Slidell. Tune in daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. to the Voices of Slidell. Get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.